This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
Okay, well it's Thursday evening, and I've just been having a chat to members of the Liverpool Astronomical Society about what they've been doing here at NAMM during the day. So perhaps you could introduce yourselves and tell me what you've been up to here today.
So yeah, hi, I'm Rob Johnson, and we've had a couple of solar telescopes, H-alpha solar telescopes, and been showing passing professional astronomers out of the conference views of the sun through the telescope.
Right, views in H-alpha.
So, yeah, we've got a little PST telescope, which is a relatively cheap beginner's solar telescope. But you can still see all the details on the sun. There's not much activity today. There's a sunspot. We've seen a few prominences, a few filaments across the disk. And earlier on, there was, within about 10 minutes, a prominence appeared, very bright prominence appeared on the southern limb, I think it was. And that was great, wasn't it, Dave?
It's been excellent, yeah. Very dynamic, the sun, constantly changing. You stand there, you have a chat, you go back to the telescope, it's changed. Prominences sprout up, they dissipate. Little ones come and go, filaments. Absolutely amazing.
And it's just minutes then for them to come
in
and go.
Minutes, yeah. over half an hour, we could see prominences growing, and then they just disappeared. And you think, where's it gone? Absolutely amazing to watch.
And what's the sort of size of those things that you're seeing?
Oh, goodness. When you get small loops, as a prominence grows and it falls back to the sun, it forms maybe a loop. The Earth can sit under that loop. There was a small, if I remember, it's a very small sunspot near the centre of the disk. Mm. That is the size of the Earth.
Right.
It's so small and the sun is so big.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It brings it all to, you know, real terms, I think, when you see the scale of the thing.
It's nice to be able to do it during the day as well, do a bit of astronomy during the day.
That's
especially
great.
In Manchester, it's unprecedented amount of sunshine we seem to have had this
week. Well, yeah, we were really lucky that it was completely clear. Once again, we thought the clouds might come in, but it was another good day, yeah.
So it's the H-alpha, it's that particular frequency that gives you the chance to look at these prominences and things, is it?
Yeah, it's centred around 656 nanometres, so H-alpha. We had a second telescope, didn't we, which is somewhat upmarket, cost a couple of £1,000. A larger objective, about a 60mm objective. Still same H-alpha.
Same band.
But being a larger objective, it gives you higher resolution image, and we had some great views through that.
Certainly did, some good detail. The weather has been good, it's clear, although with a slight haze. We could see, as the haze came and went, the seeing conditions equally come and go.
Okay.
And in those moments of good seeing, the detail just pops out at you.
Mm.
The filament was there, then it wasn't, then it was. And you've just got to get your eye used to seeing in red.
Right.
The sun is red. We're looking in red light, and I don't think we're used to doing this normally.
Mm.
So you've got to get dark adapted in the daytime,
okay,
which is a bit unusual.
And roughly how many people do you think you've got to look through the telescope today?
Goodness, I've lost count.
I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 people, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And what sort of reaction did you get from the delegates at NAMM when they were having a look through?
Yeah, I mean, they were really interested. We had obviously some sort of galactic astronomers and things, which never sort of look at the sun that much, and some planetary folks who equally don't look at the sun. But there were some solar physicists who'd never really looked through a telescope at the sun. And it was great that one guy brought his laptop along and showed us the live SDO image from just 10 minutes ago. And we were able to compare that image with what we could see through the telescope.
Brilliant.
What I did find amusing was the gentleman, I don't know his name, I only saw him very briefly, and as he walked past, we said, "Would you like to have a look at the sun?" He said, "Oh, it's okay, I've got one of those." Unbeknown to us, until we found out later, he's actually got a telescope stuck to the side of the International Space Station observing the sun.
Wow.
I must find out who it was. I've already got one of those. I thought, well, he must have a solar max or something, you know. On the space station, I mean. Excellent.
Well, one of the delegates who was having a look today was the plenary speaker, Fran Bagenall. So is it something that you get to do as a hobby very much? actually looking through a telescope?
No, I'm terrible about looking through telescopes, and I have not seen much of the telescope. But what I thought was interesting is that this morning we had one of the plenary talks, excellent talk by Alan Hood from St Andrews, an overview of all these observations of the sun made by space and so on. All the detail, the stuff coming and going. But the thrill was really to come down here and look through a telescope with my own eyes. And those photons were coming from the sun through the telescope and into my eyes. And there's something special about that. It's,
yes.
You know, you can look at all the space images you want, but to actually see a planet or the stars or the sun with your own eyes and have that, know that those photons actually travelled from the object and came to your eyes is something special. I think it's important.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, I think we should probably remind people not to look directly at the sun because that's too many photons. But I guess for that reason, because it's so bright, you actually don't really look at the detail of the sun. I mean, it's about the same size as the full moon on the sky, but you never get the chance to look at it unless you're using a special piece of equipment.
Well, there are easier ways to do it. You can project it onto the wall, which is sort of what Newton did and other people like that. Galileo, historically, measured the sunspots through projection. Or you can go to your amateur astronomy society and they'll have the equipment to help you do it. So, you know, I guess the next eclipse here in visible in the UK will be 2017. Find out where your local astronomy group is and go and hook up with them.
Okay. Well, the last thing I'll ask then is, are any of you going to be up at 5 a.m. on June the 6th to watch the transit of Venus?
Yes.
I feel sure we won't see it, but
British weather.
We'll be there.
You never know.
We did see the last one, but we went to initially we went to Madrid, but we ended up down to Portugal on the border there.
That's right. Yeah.
A long journey, yeah. But because of the thunderstorms, we had to move to where the clear skies were. Britain isn't so kind with the weather and the clear skies, but we'll do our best, and
we'll
always do, and we'll worship the clouds as always.
Okay, thank you all very much.
Thank you, Mark.
Great.